Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ, for allowing us to have this forum to even bring you a show and to have the opportunity to have this platform to express not only my sports beliefs but also the way I feel and the heart and the passion that I have for Christ in my heart. I thank you all for listening. Numbers are extraordinary, tremendous, and I'm so thankful to Blog Talk Radio apparently for putting some shows on when I'm not even here. Because that makes me feel great. Apparently that means that they like me, what I'm doing and everything, and it's a viable audience, and I'm so thankful for that. I don't take that for granted. So thank you, Blog Talk Radio. Next, and of course, I've got to, of course, thank our wonderful producer, Dee, for making this show all possible, for giving us a vision and the thing to want to keep on pressing on and keep doing the shows for you. And last but not least, of course, thanking you guys, the wonderful fans that listen to this show, download this show, and make this show very viable and give it a very good tool for Blog Talk Radio to keep presenting it and everything. So I am so, so thankful. Today's show, of course, is going to be remembering college football season of 2014 and respect for the new crown champion, the Ohio State Buckeyes. So this is going to be quite an interesting show. It's a show that is filled with humble pie for me. So it's going to be quite quite interesting show. But before I get into the show, and last week we didn't do a show. You guys listened to a recorded show previously. So what I want to do is this. I got to give thanks to a guy that was basically, in my opinion, a big-time mentor, or a big-time somebody that you want to model what you do with regards to sports after and sports broadcasting. That was Stuart Scott. Stuart Scott passed away, of course, on January 4th, 2015. He was a longtime anchor for ESPN Sports Center for 21 years. So, you know, that's remarkable within itself. And the things and the images that Stuart Scott brought to us as an anchor, we will never, ever forget. You know, more than anything else, his wonderful saying of booyah, you know. And, I mean, the thing is that makes you so respectful for Stuart Scott was a simple fact that Stuart Scott grew up in Chicago and was able to go to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in Chapel Hill. And he was a guy that was able to not only transcend the fact of being, okay, I'm a city dude, I'm coming to a school that's in the South, but also to have the opportunity to transcend and bring cultures together. So that's what you loved about Stuart Scott, able to bring a northern culture to a southern school and also just mesh them all together and have a fantastic career at ESPN. So Stuart Scott, man, big ups to you, man. And, hey, we will always remember you, and we will be missing you until we get a chance to see you again, because we all know we see each other again. You know, our bodies may pass away, but our soul is eternal. And as long as you have that faith and foundation and belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, you will be seen again, no doubt about it. Regardless of what things you may be going through here on earth, as long as you have that belief, you got to have the belief in Christ. Christ is our foundation and Christ is our rock. Without him, nothing is possible. This life we live is not possible, because the only reason we got this life is because Christ made the sacrifice for us on the cross on Calvary. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Stuart Scott, for all you imparted upon us while you were on this earth. Today, January 17th, we got what you got, Forgive or Not to Forgive, and that's from Tony Dungy, Tony Dungy's book, Uncommon Life Daily Challenge. And to forgive or not to forgive, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins, which is so true. So therefore, that means that none of us are perfect. We have to all understand it. Yeah, none of us are perfect. So at the same time, that simply means that we have to press forward, and we don't hold other folks' things against. We don't put judge upon other people. God, only individual that can judge, and He's not an individual. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God is the only one that can judge. So we as people, we can't judge, but we can have an opinion, but we cannot judge. So I want to read to you guys what Tony Dungy stated about that in his interpretation of that. These verses have always been a little disconcerting to me. I think I understand the plain message of the words, but does Christ really understand what he's asking me to do? I wonder if he knows about some of the things I still vividly remember that others have done to me through the years. Guess what? God knows all those things. And is he asking me to forgive them, or am I out of luck to receive his forgiveness for my wrongdoings? I imagine proposing a simpler solution. Why doesn't God just forgive everyone, including me, as I believe he did through his son on the cross, and we'll be done with it? You know, we want to get that forgiveness part out real quick. Don't ask me to forgive them as well. You know, we don't want to do the forgiving thing. And don't contingency clause for my own forgiveness on the tail end of it. And then I begin to look inside a little deeper. And I can't help but wonder sometimes if I don't have trouble forgiving others because I don't want to forgive myself for all the stuff that I've done. What about you? I mean, it seems as though sometimes the baggage we carry isn't really something we want to carry around, but we do it anyway. Either we enjoy the misery and want the self-imposed pity parties we're throwing to continue, or more likely, we simply can't forgive ourselves for all the times we have fallen short of God's standard. So we turn around and don't forgive others, and our hearts begin to harden, not only toward others, but toward ourselves. But God's plan for forgiveness provides total freedom for us from guilt over what we have done and from the bitterness toward others for what they have done to us. The ability to forgive is a reflection of a repentant, spiritually reborn heart. That repentance begins one-on-one with God. That repentance begins one-on-one with God. I repeat, that repentance begins one-on-one with God. Uncommon Key from Tony Dungy. How willing are you to forgive yourself and others? Confess your lack of forgiveness to God and begin to change your attitude and start making a list of people who have wronged you whom you need to offer grace to. Because Christ offers us grace. So we need to extend that grace to other folks. One last thing about Stuart Scott. I don't know if you guys saw the ESPYs back in July. I know I did. And, you know, I was moved because at the time Stuart Scott was battling cancer, he's coming back on ESPN and not being on ESPN, and, you know, he's having the surgeries and everything else. But one of the things that was so inspiring that Stuart Scott said during that ESPY broadcast was this. When you die, it does not mean that you lose to cancer, because he was battling cancer at the time. And that's ultimately the illness that took Stuart Scott out. Scott told the audience, you beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live, end quote. And the author of this article goes on to continue, one of the hardest things to understand as a family member, friend, or coworker of someone with a terminal illness is oftentimes why routine is so important. Why wouldn't you want to travel? Why keep working so hard? And Stuart Scott's answer was this. He answered that question in the following way. I have to feel as much as I can, though I don't have cancer, although I think about cancer 20 times a day. So the routine was so important is that he was getting up, he was working out, doing things, and he didn't want to travel, but he wanted to keep his routine going. And that's the thing about life. Sometimes we get so stuck in like, oh, man, I need to do this and do that. But you need to develop a routine. And once you develop your routine, you stick to to your routine. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how difficult it may be. I don't care how frustrating the hour may be. You got to always stick to your routine. That is paramount, because when you develop a routine, any changes that happen in your life, changes are going to come. Changes are a part of life. That's a given. And when I get into today's show, after getting done with this quote for Stuart Scott about routine and everything, change is evident. But when you develop a routine, once you develop a routine and you develop a structure, it's called structure, order, and discipline. Once that's developed, regardless of what's going on in your life, what changes you may have, if you focus on structure, order, and discipline, you're going to get where you need to go. And that's the evidence and impetus that God puts in us, because it's locked in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three entities. Those three entities are the foundation of our faith, and that's what causes us to lift up, keep going, regardless of what people do to you or what anybody or what your circumstances may be. You focus on that, you can get where you want to go. And that segues into remembering college football for 2014 in respect for the Ohio State Buckeyes. A new national champion, and this is a show that I got to be humble, I got to be like, a lot of humble pie, because I tell you, the Ohio State fans this week have really taught me to be even more humble. Every day I got a text from an Ohio State fan, every single day this week. A new national champion has been crowned, and they hail from Columbus, Ohio. They are the mighty Ohio State University Buckeyes. I have nothing but respect for them. You have to show big ups to the Buckeyes for winning a national championship in football with your third-string quarterback. Not your first-string quarterback, not your second-string quarterback, but your third-string quarterback. And that's where routine comes in structure or in discipline, as I segued into this. College football this season was one of many changes, and at the same time, several norms that we have come to accept held true. Defense wins championships, and it certainly does. And that was the foundation and rock for the Ohio State football team. The new playoff format that featured the top four teams was a big hit, both in the ratings and also in the overall acceptance by the public. Now, the question is, when? And I don't. It's not a matter, I guess, of when or if, but it's not a question of if, but when will the college football playoff field double from the Fantastic Four field that we had this year to a field of an Elite Eight that features eight teams? In my opinion, we can all expect soon. I mean, I got it. You had to give big ups, man, to Ohio State. And that's going to be the remaining part of the show. I'm going to throw some other things in that may be going on with respective sports at this time. But the 15 minutes that remain in the show are dedicated to Ohio State. I'm going to tell you, never in my wildest dreams when the four were picked, I was one of those proponents. I mean, when the four came out, and I'm going to tell you, Alabama, number one, I had no problem with that. Oregon, number two, had no problem with that. Florida State, number three, I honestly had no problem with that. Ohio State at number four, I had a big problem with that. And the reason I had a big problem with that was because Ohio State lost to a Virginia Tech team early in the year in Columbus, Ohio. So Virginia Tech was a team that went to Wake Forest and beat Wake Forest 6-3 in a field goal kicking contest. So everybody, myself and a lot of other people were saying, well, how can Ohio State advance to number four and get into the playoff format when they lost to a team like Virginia Tech? Well, the way it works out is this. The Big 12 is the one that really should be responsible for this more than anything else, because the Big 12 had two teams, Texas Christian University, TCU, and Baylor, both very good teams. But the thing about it, the Big 12 was one of those five power conferences, and they had in their bylaws that the teams, if there was a tie between the top two teams, whatever team beat the other team was so-called champion. So Baylor beat TCU, but TCU had a higher ranking than Baylor. So how are you going to say, TCU, you're our conference champion, you can go play in the championship, but, oh, Baylor, you beat TCU, you can't go play. So that was a big issue in the fly in the ointment. So once that happened, the way was pretty much open for Ohio State to just go ahead and walk on in. All Ohio State had to do was two things. They won the Big Ten conference. They played in the Big Ten championship against a pretty decent Wisconsin team, and what they did was they ran the table. They got style points. And by them having those style points, Ohio State was able to jump both Texas Christian University and Baylor, because Ohio State settled it, the Big Ten, per se, settled their championship on the field. And if the committee knew, if they would have chose Baylor or if they would have chose TCU, lawsuits were coming, because they would have ignored the bylaws from the Big 12 conference. So the Big 12 really had no gripe. And what resulted was Baylor going to play in the Cotton Bowl, and Baylor played an incredible game against Michigan State. These guys came back, and they beat a Michigan State team that I thought was like just going to run all over them. And then TCU came to Atlanta, played in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And I tell you, this was incredible, because that day was New Year's Eve, and I think I may have talked about that on a previous show. And you had all these Ole Miss folks that came from Oxford, Mississippi, to pull for their mighty Ole Miss Rebels against TCU. I mean, Texas Christian University opened up such a big can of whoop tail on Ole Miss, until when I saw their fans, because I took the wonderful mass transit system we have in Atlanta that day, and I rode the train because I just wanted to get a feel of how Atlanta was feeling for New Year's Eve and come through downtown, all that good stuff. And on the train, and I tell you, man, the Ole Miss folks, man, when they got on that train, man, they were hurt. I mean, the thing about it is they knew that they got beat down, but they were just hurt. And that's that feeling you get when your team was just totally just whacked off the field. And now that segues me back into what happened in the the playoff games. Of course, we know Florida State absolutely just choked against Oregon. I mean, they made Marcus Mariota and Oregon look like they were world beaters. And everybody was talking about, oh, the physicality of Auburn. That's what Kirk Herbstreit kept saying. You cannot say that Oregon's not a physical team. On and on and on and on again. But see, Oregon took on a Florida State team that was really flawed. Even though Florida State won all their games throughout the year, and there were a lot of folks hoping, TCU and Baylor people primarily, that Georgia Tech would have beaten Florida State. And Georgia Tech gave Florida State a heck of a game in that ACC championship game in Charlotte. But they came up 2 points short. And then you got to take your hat. Excuse me. Now, let me segue into Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech right now is going to be a formidable opponent for quite some time. Because what Paul Johnson has done, his offense that he runs is basic. It's a basic option offense, what we're used to seeing in the 80s from teams like Oklahoma and folks of that nature. But he developed this system in his own pragmatic way, whereby, one, once his folks run it, they run it so special that I don't care. They can tell you the play that's coming, and you still won't be able to stop it, because it's a very efficient offense. And they literally embarrassed Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl. And so Georgia Tech and all the folk in here in Georgia, now see, the folk in Georgia, they're concerned, because not only did Georgia, I'm telling you, a little station identification break for Georgia and Georgia Tech, not only did Georgia Tech beat Georgia this year, Georgia has lost their offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, who everybody, these guys in Georgia wanted to run Mike Bobo away forever, but he's gone now. So they got them a new.
Well, hello, folks. I'm sorry we had a little basic technical difficulties and everything, but guess what? We're back. That's all right. In the area and times of course, modern technology, even if you go down, you can always come back and your host is back. Don't worry about it, folks. It's just one of those things that we have to overcome. So it was a technical difficulty. What I was getting into at the time was the simple fact that, one, Ohio State, you got to respect the Buckeyes. And the thing about it is, you know, hey, you have to respect them. They've done a great job. And by them doing such a great job, you have to understand that, one, as the Buckeyes continue, this respective program will only get better. And that's the scary thing. That's what scares a lot of folk when it comes to Ohio State. It scared me. And you don't know, in my personal opinion, I don't know if one of your fans probably sabotaged the show to get me to shut up a little bit. But, hey, it's all good. We took a little five-minute break, and we're back on the air. So, hey, thank you guys for being patient with us and everything. Now, as I was segueing into talking about Ohio State, the issue and the thing was this. Was, hey, man, they did a great job this year. Whenever you can win a championship with not your best player but your third-string quarterback, man, I'm going to tell you, man, that speaks volumes for Urban Meyer and his coaching staff. So I have nothing but love, nothing but respect for Ohio State. That's the way I'm always going to feel about them and everything as far as the team and what they've done this year. So I have no qualms about how the season went through, how everything worked out, Was it an issue for the fact and simple fact that, hey, Ohio State was there? They were like, they backed their way in the championship. That's what a lot of people may say, but I don't say they backed their way in the championship. I think they earned their way into the championship. I have nothing but respect for the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's why this show is so humble today. And not only is it humility and everything for the Buckeyes, but it's a simple fact that, one, they were able to do what they were supposed to do, and that's win the championship, and they decided on the field. Now, as I mentioned to you guys, I've given a lot of homage to Ohio State. There was a brief technical difficulty as far as our broadcast was concerned today. We were able to overcome that and get back on the air. The thing I must admit, though, is right now we're in basketball season. And with us being in basketball season, that brings an interesting thing to the force of play and everything to the table right now. Kentucky is doing what Kentucky should do on the men's side of the ledger. You know, we look at the basketball landscape right now, you know, hey, Kentucky's doing their thing. You got nothing but respect for Kentucky. They're out there doing what they're supposed to do each and every week in the SEC basketball format. On the other side of the ledger, you have the Lady Gamecocks, University of South Carolina Gamecocks. They're undefeated also. They're 17-0 and 6-0 in the conference and 5-0 in the conference, which is really remarkable for a ladies' team to be that focused and keep winning. So that brings us to this. How is the basketball season going to play out? I don't know how the basketball season is going to play out. If I did, I'd go to Vegas and make me some bets. But I don't know how it's going to all play out. But at the same time, I do understand that consistency and routines are going to be what wins championships. And that's the one thing we saw with Ohio State, consistency. Ohio State was consistent. They didn't change their breakup and their makeup of what they were doing. Each and every week, Ohio State just basically went out there as a team, they practiced, they did what they were supposed to do, kept their nose to the ground, and kept on pushing through and kept on winning. So, you know, the thing about it is this, man. Ohio State did what they were supposed to do, thankful for what the things they have done and everything, and you got to respect them as a champion. You always respect the champion. So now I spoke a little bit about two number one teams in men's and ladies basketball on the collegiate side. The thing we look forward to now, we had our Final Four a couple of weeks ago with college football. Now we get our Final Four with the NFL. And what a Final Four that we do have as we conclude this show. We have a Final Four of the Seattle Seahawks versus the Green Bay Packers. That game's going to be played in Seattle tomorrow. And the Indianapolis Colts went out to Denver, did their thing, and they're on the road against the New England Patriots, man. What an interesting Final Four. You know, those four teams that they've already talked about, we talked about New England. Of course, they've got Tom Brady as a quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. We got Russell Wilson in Seattle, your current reigning Super Bowl champion. He has a Super Bowl championship. And last but not least, we have Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. He has a Super Bowl championship. Of those four quarterbacks, I didn't mention Andrew Luck of the four because he's the only one of the four that does not have a Super Bowl championship. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what goes around and what happens. And you remember Andrew Luck from the draft of who? RG3, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson all were drafted in the same year. So what we could have is we could have possibly, I'm saying possibly, we could have a championship that features Russell Wilson versus Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson versus Tom Brady, which would really get big ratings, or Aaron Rodgers against Andrew Luck, or Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. So either way that this shapes up, this is going to be one elite championship weekend, and we're going to have one elite Super Bowl. So man, oh man, as a football fan, the last hurrah for football is going to be very, very, very special this year. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are looking forward to it, and you can feel my excitement. So more than anything else, I thank you so much for tuning in and listening to or downloading our show. It's all about the game. And as I mentioned, there are going to be some technical difficulties on this show. You're going to hear some dead space because there was an issue with Skype. Hey, no problem. Don't worry about it. Technical difficulty was resolved by our crack staff team here, and we were able to pull a rabbit out of our hat, get your host back on the air, Coach A, to deliver you another award-winning show. God bless and have yourself a great day. and enjoy college basketball. And by all means, please enjoy the NFL Championship Weekend that takes place this weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.